You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/quicksurf. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm your host Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio MC1 at QuickSurf Internet Services. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to techpodcasts.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there. I'd like to encourage everybody to visit us online at linux.quicksurf.com and shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com, if you have any feedback or comments or anything of that nature. I am still handing out Google Plus invites. I know they're becoming a lot more available, but if you want a Google Plus invite from me, just shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com, and I will get one out to you at my first opportunity. And with that, let's go ahead and get into the stories for this episode. Starting off at Lifehacker, they have a first look at the Ubuntu Linux 11.10 Oneric, I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly, Oneric Ocelot beta. They give a basic rundown of some of the changes that have happened since the last version of Ubuntu Linux. It's a pretty interesting read, so go ahead and check that out. Over at Tech Dirt, we all thought that SCO is done. You know, I've been following and reporting on the SCO suing Linux story for quite some time now, a couple of years at least. And there's another entry in this saga. The title of this article is Zombie SCO Loses Again. Is it dead yet? We had hoped that after SCO lost its lawsuit yet again last summer, that the whole SCO versus Linux legal fight would finally be dead, finally. But of course, that was wishful thinking. Zombie SCO came back for yet another whacking, and it got another whacking. The ruling is worth reading, if only for a nice, concise summary of the entire legal dispute and SCO's various attempts to reanimate its very dead corpse. So basically, it was not successful. It's just one of those things where it's like, really? Can you guys please just give it up already? You're not going to win. I don't see how you can, you know, justify continuing on like this. Quite an interesting read. Check it out. From the San Francisco Chronicle, Pogo Linux launches all new SSD-based server solutions to meet the broad cloud and web service provider market segments. Integrated solutions based on LSI flash-based storage technologies help IT managers at small and mid-sized organizations accelerate application performance with cost-efficient solid-state storage strategies. Pogo Linux, which happens to be the leading open source systems integrator, I think that's their statement. It's up for debate. Today announced the immediate availability of a line of performance servers and storage systems based on LSI Corporation's enterprise application acceleration solutions using solid state storage technology. The all new Pogo Linux accelerated servers dramatically improve system and application performance for a wide variety of IO intensive workloads. IT managers who oversee cloud and hosted services workloads now have a way to execute a high-performance solid-state storage strategy with minimal upfront investment. So pretty awesome stuff. Check it out. From eWeek, Weiss unveils its fastest thin client line. Now, we're all familiar with Weiss, I hope. Weiss Technology, a longtime thin client maker that also describes itself as a provider of cloud client computing, made several new product announcements at VMworld 2011 on August 29th, including new high-performing thin clients, Linux thin clients, and mobile clients. So, pretty nice. the two Linux space members of its Z-class family, the Z50S and Z50D, are the two Linux-based clients they introduced. The Z50 is a high-performance thin client product line based on the Weiss-enhanced SUSE Linux Enterprise, the industry's only enterprise-quality Linux operating system that utilizes Weiss's thin computing management and user experience software. So pretty interesting stuff. If you are a huge Weiss user, this might be something to look into. From MarketWatch, Gazang unveils a cloud security platform for the LAMP stack. This is pretty neat. Gazang is, according to them, the company securing data in the cloud. They have announced the availability of the Easy Encrypt 2.0, its flagship data security platform. It's now expanded to provide transparent data encryption for the entire LAMP stack, including any data logs or files created or managed by any Linux application or service such as Apache, Alfresco, Drupal, Joomla, and WordPress. This latest release also includes soon-to-be-released package support for PostgreSQL, Cassandra, MongoDB, and Drizzle databases, as well as MySQL, and is available in two versions, the Easy Encrypt for databases and Easy Encrypt Flex. So check it out if that's something that you're looking to do for your operating system or LAMP stack. From LinuxDevices.com, Linaro, released in Android and Ubuntu images, supports Linux 3.0. Linaro has released a new version of its Linaro open source Linux tools kernel and middleware stack for ARM Cortex-based consumer electronics. It's based on the Linux 3.0.3 kernel and GCC 4.6 toolchain. Linaro 11.8 offers Android and Ubuntu images for the BeagleBoard, XM, Pandora, PandaBoard, Snowball, and Samsung Origin development boards, plus a new build for the Freescale i.mx53 board. So if you do a lot of embedded development, this is something to look into for sure. From thevarguy.com, Canonical targets embedded devices with its Ubuntu core. If Canonical has its way, Ubuntu may soon be powering computers like the one in your car. At least that's what the release of Ubuntu core, a new image of Ubuntu aimed at embedded devices, suggests. Ubuntu Core, as its name implies, constitutes a very bare-bones Ubuntu system. It's a minimalist version of Ubuntu that provides the most basic software around which developers can build a larger system to suit their needs. I, for one, am a huge believer of this. You should not get a system that's, you know, got a bunch of stuff that you don't use. You should get a basic system with easy ways of adding on functionality. That's one of the reasons why I like FreeBSD, and that's one of the reasons why I run FreeBSD as my primary file server here at the house. It's, you know, the base FreeBSD comes with nothing. It's literally just FreeBSD. No services running, none of that stuff. You have to go and actually add on what you want it to actually do, which is pretty nice because the base FreeBSD runs on a lot of stuff and you don't have to have a fast computer. Anyway, I digress. Weighing in at only about 100 megabytes and fewer than 35 megabytes compressed, the Ubuntu Core image is indeed lightweight since apt is among the approximate 100 packages that are built into it. However, additional applications can be easily downloaded and installed just as they are on any other Ubuntu system, which is awesome. So the first official release of Ubuntu Core is slated for this October, when the next version of Ubuntu 11.10 debuts. For now, the daily development builds of the Ubuntu Core image are available from their website. So check it out. That will do it for this episode of Linux News Log. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes that you can find online at linux.quicksurf.com. And if you want to shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com, I do take story submissions on that email address. So if there's something you want to bring to my attention, just shoot an email that way. And I will take a look at it and potentially include it here in the show. And with that, I will see all of you on the next episode. I'll see you then. Bye.